cost to put all those greys out there?
Gokhale inclined his head imperially. As long as the Radisha did the questioning, Swan's nerve stood up. She could not hurt him in ways he had not been hurt before. Not the way the Protector could. He asked,
"Have you been out there? You should disguise yourself and go. Like Sarah goes in the fairy tale. Every street is clogged with people. Thousands sleep where others have to walk over them. Breezeways and alleyways are choked with human waste. Sometimes the press is so thick you could murder somebody 10 feet from one of my men and never be noticed. The people playing these games aren't stupid. If they're really company survivors, they're especially not stupid. They've already survived everything ever thrown at them. They're using the crowds for cover exactly the way they'd use the rocks and trees and bushes out in the countryside. They don't wear uniforms. They don't stand out. They're not outlanders anymore. If you really want to nail them, put out a proclamation saying they all have to wear funny red hats."
Swan's nerve had peaked high. That was not directed at the Radisha. Soulcatcher, speaking through her, had issued several proclamations memorable for their absurdity.
Being steeped in company doctrine, they wouldn't be anywhere around when the smoke emblems actually formed. So far, we haven't even figured out where they come from.
Soulcatcher unleashed a deep-throated grunt. It said she doubted that Swan could figure out much of anything. His nerve guttered like a dying lamp. He began to sweat. He knew he walked a tightrope with the mad woman. He was tolerated like a naughty pet for reasons clear only to the sorceress, who sometimes did things for no better reason than a momentary whim, which could reverse itself an instant later. He could be replaced. Others had been. Soulcatcher did not care about facts, insurmountable obstacles, or mere difficulties. She cared about results. Swan offered. "On the plus side, there's no evidence, even from our most eager informants, that suggests this activity is anything but a low-grade nuisance. Even if Black Company survivors are behind it, and even with tonight's escalation." Soulcatcher said, "They'll never be anything but a nuisance." Her voice was that of a plucky teenage girl.
"They're going through the motions. They lost heart when I buried all their leaders."
That was all spoken in a powerful male voice by someone accustomed to unquestioning obedience. But those words amounted to an oblique admission that company members might, after all, still be alive. And the final few words included in a rising inflection betraying potential uncertainty. There were questions about what had happened on the plain of Glittering Stone that Soulcatcher herself could not answer.
"I'll worry when they call them back from the dead."
She did not know. In truth, little had gone according to anyone's plan out there. Her escape with Swan had been pure luck. But Soulcatcher was the sort who believed Fortune's bright countenance was her born due.
"Probably true, and only marginally significant if I understand your summons."
"There are other forces afoot," Soulcatcher said.